Welcome back to We Are YA. I'm your host, Felicity.
And I'm your co-host, Shannon.
And on this season of We Are YA, it's the Vampire Academy Recap Party as we celebrate the release of Peacock's Vampire Academy series, which is based on the best-selling books by author Rochelle Mead.
Each week, we'll be looking back at the books, hearing from Vampire Academy fans, and recapping every episode of the show. And we'll even have some special guests, including author Rochelle Mead.
It's the final episode. We are here. Everything has been leading to this moment, and so many big things happened. And we have to discuss all of it. Deaths, betrayals, breakups, and makeups. It all went down.
And of course, joining us to discuss all of those massive moments, celebrate the Dimitri Does and So Rose of the Week, Rochelle Mead, author of the Vampire Academy series, who has to be loving life thanks to the return of Andre Dragomir, right, Rochelle?
Oh my goodness, like, that was just everything. Well, I'm sure we'll get to it because it was everything, yes. And then it was nothing.
But it was there and taken
for
away.
A brief period, yes, my life
really
was golden.
Built you up just to knock you down.
Let's recap episode 10, Ascension. The invasion is on. The court is being inundated with Strigoi and it's losing battle for the Guardians, who, despite a pep talk from the Commander Worst, are dealing with panicked Moroi. Dimitri sits in his cell with Sasha Tanner and Alberta, barely alive, struggles in and does the smart thing and lets him out. Let that man into the fight!
The Moroi, of course, are going to Moroi, and without enough buses for everyone, priority is being given to the royals first, so Mia isn't allowed to escape. Bumping into a monk who admits the stake is missing and they can't reseal the wards, he tells Mia and Christian to get out while they can. Christian feels guilt that this whole invasion is his fault, but Mia reminds him that his parents are terrible. After not getting on a bus, Christian is headed to the archives. And that while the sun is coming out soon, if they don't reseal the wards by the next night, the court is done for. Victor sees Mia and begs her to forgive his role in turning Sonya, but she tells him that she's not the one he should be asking forgiveness from.
Mason and Rose are on the road. Hey, Mason can drive. And while they're seemingly happy, it of course can't last. Rose can sense that Lyssa is feeling off and that something is wrong, and all she wants to do is go back. But she reminds herself that Lyssa has Dimitri protecting her. Mason hesitates before saying, well, not exactly. The Queen and Lyssa are hidden in the castle and Lyssa implores her to escape, but the Queen says that this is her place. Lyssa wonders if this kind of invasion has happened before and the Queen says no, and that Andre had talked about evacuation protocols, but they'd never really thought what would happen. Come on, people, think about these things.
Of course it was Andre. Andre is like the only one who could have held that place together.
R.I.P. Mikhail would have been all over this. He would have had people
that's
prepared.
True. I give you that. Andre and Mikhail, it's interesting. All the characters who could have done something, gone.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Very clinical. Very clinical. The Queen's feeder arrives while Lyssa admires the Queen's calmness during this moment. And the Queen says a good ruler gives up everything for their subjects, including their own fear. After the feeding, the Queen notices that Lyssa is looking at a notebook that Christian gave to her, and she tells Lyssa that sometimes all you can do is project hope as they both celebrate that it's getting lighter outside. Then the Queen's feeder collapses, dead and poisoned, and the Queen is immediately not feeling very well.
Tatiana is being her classic villain self and giving Andre a play-by-play of her scheme and how she's been using Andre to understand the rules of the court and who's who. Andre's just out here giving her the guidebook to overthrowing the throne. She's back now to know what the emergency protocol for succession is. And while he's reluctant, Mrs. Ozera is ready to kill him. But Tatiana still needs Andre alive. He's trying to barter his life, telling her ruling won't be easy. But she says, I won't be queen for long. Andre realizes something larger is at play, but is interrupted by Mrs. Ozera. But Tatiana fights her down again, and he quietly says, you move like a dampier. She threatens him again and gets information about the council's protocol, and then she's on her way.
We're going to go back to that later on about Tatiana, but that was a line I missed in the first viewing when Andre mumbles to himself, you move like a dampier. And I'm like, ooh. So we're going to revisit that. Outside, it's daylight, and we find Moroi are rushing to safety to try and cover from the sun while being told that the Strigoi are hiding in buildings and that they're safer outside. Mason and Rose have returned and Meredith finds them, telling Rose Lyssa is safe under the Queen's protection. Dimitri and Sasha enter the courtyard, shepherding a Moroi group to daylight, and Dimitri share a look. The group finds out that the royals who took the first wave of buses aren't willing to walk in the sunshine to the planes, and so will wait until dusk before boarding the planes and freeing up the buses. These people are the worst people ever. Rose and Dimitri argue about protecting the remaining Moroi, and then Meredith reveals that she might know a way. There's a tunnel. Book readers are screaming. She excuses this knowledge that Christian reads books and she reads maps. Mason said he's never seen it and he reads maps. Something's going on with Meredith.
Also, the Dampiers don't seem to have a lot of reading material if, like, this is a common thing. They read
they
maps.
They need to go to Dimitri's apartment. He's got all the books.
His lending library.
Seriously. He's probably the one actually hasn't returned all the books and everyone's, like, waiting for something to come back.
Like, well, I got this map, so.
I'll read that instead. Meredith tells them that the tunnels will need to be cleared first because it's full of Strigoi waiting out the daylight. Sasha says it's a suicide mission, but Rose reminds them that she knows when Strigoi are coming and asks for volunteers to come with her. I love how everyone was like, no, thank you. Mason volunteers Dimitri and says Mason can cover the entrance. Mason then gives Rose a loaded farewell, reminding her to be safe and gently kissing her forehead. And Dimitri is trying his best not to notice. Oof. That was a real, okay, I said that the guy's here.
Christian arrives at the archives and is attacked by a Strigoi, but High Priestess Vogel comes in swinging and chops that Strigoi's head clean off. She tells him to go to the bus, but he's determined and says that they can make a new stake. He wants to know how it's made and she snaps, "What, so you can tell your Strigoi mother?" And he replies, he wants to make up for what his parents did. The priestess asks how Christian would know anything that they haven't already tried, and he admits that he reads texts that would get him branded a heretic.
The queen isn't looking good, and of course the other royals took all the doctors with them. Lyssa tries healing the queen, but it's not really working, and the queen admits she knows she's going to die. The queen's guardians need to protect the entrance and is given permission to leave. Andre is struggling against his restraints and annoying Mummy Ozira. He's doing it deliberately because the ceiling plate holding his rope is coming loose, so he continues to antagonize her into beating him up and shaking the bolts free. When she leaves the room, he manages to break free and then fire magics his way out the window.
The sounds of Strigoi are getting closer, and Lyssa begs the queen to leave, but she won't, saying it's time for Lyssa to go, that the Strigoi aren't only coming for the queen. The queen then tells Lyssa that actually she is married to Christian because the notebook was a gift and she has the quorum, and the council could vote her queen. She pushes Lyssa to leave, offering to cover her as Lyssa escapes out a side door. She immediately encounters a Strigoi, but the queen pushes a blast of her air power and sends the Strigoi into the sun with a self-sacrifice. She dies as Lyssa escapes.
Aww, R.I.P. Pour one out for the queen. Meredith shows Rose and Dimitri the tunnel, and she tells them that another group of guardians will be meeting them at the end. Rose kindly tells Meredith she thinks Mia will be fine, and they share a look of respect. Christian and High Priestess Vogel are sharing notes about stakes and how they came to be created. They tried replicating the stakes using St. Vlad's blood, but Christian tells her that he was a spirit user, and maybe St. Vlad put spirit in the stakes. She doesn't love this news, but Christian reminds her that if he's right, it saves a lot of lives. He admits that the books he was reading to know this knowledge is because he wanted to understand why his parents turned Strigoi. She tells him that his dad was sick and that by turning Strigoi, his parents could be together forever. The priestess hands him a blade and tells him that he is now a monk who can wield the blade because she says it. Monk Christian!
I was kind of sad when I heard that last part, like they just wanted to be together forever.
No, but still, that's not a great way.
I know, they're like, let's be evil together forever.
With really bad skin and...
Lyssa, in the most not-undercover look, is walking through town when Mia spots her. The remaining Moroi are huddling under shelters and umbrellas and not looking so good. Mia is injured and Lyssa offers to heal her, but Mia won't allow it. Lyssa tells her that the Strigoi are hunting her, and Mia tells her to take the crown off because she might have an idea.
Jesse and Silva are having a post-private time chat. Which also, guys, there are more important things happening outside the door. Maybe don't stop for this, like, intimate moment. She looks at his scars and he tells her that it's from his father, admitting that he likes to go into the human world and feed right up until the point the human is about to die. Jesse says it's the only thing that separates him from Strigoi, that he can stop. Silva tells him it's okay, that he's not in the wrong and that the Moroi system of oppression is in the wrong. A crash outside interrupts them and Silva tells Jesse to flee. But he suggests she come with him and they kiss. Aww.
I did not see that couple coming. Just side note.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
We'll get into it in a little bit.
We will.
Anyways, it's Dimitri and Rose in the tunnels, and we're all very nervous about it. She notices markings on the floor, and he tells her, that's the alchemists. Shout out to everybody who knows what that is. Who keep the pact between humans and vampires intact. However, the alchemists hate all vampires, including Dampier's, and that if she ever sees those symbols in the human world with Mason, she needs to run. Turning a corner, Rose argues with Dimitri, asking why he didn't tell her that he was facing prison. He retorts, well, why didn't you tell me that you were going AWOL? They argue about her returning and him being stuck in jail, and she reminds him, they come first. He warns her not to lecture him about duty, and she reminds him all of the lectures he gave her. Their argument is rising. Guys, you're hunting Strigoi. Maybe less yelling. Rose tells Dimitri that, oh, he thinks he knows her so well. And then she's cut off by the pain of Strigoi approaching. Game faces on, and as the Strigoi attack, they continue their fight and conversation. Favorite food? Pizza. Dimitri's favorite book? Oh, he has too many. They kill the Strigoi and continue on, Dimitri trying to hold back a smile.
Okay. That was the cutest slash dumbest fight ever in terms of like, you are in a very serious moment and they're shouting in the tunnels. And then they're like, it was such a Dimitri thing of like, we're going to continue the fight while we stake. I loved it. It was so Rose and Dimitri. The council received the news that the queen is dead. Danes Eklos continues to be the absolute worst and interrupts the moment of respect for the queen and demands that everyone just escape. Just as he's about to, Strigoi bursts into the room and attacks everyone. And he literally, Danes Eklos, literally grabs another council member and uses them as a human shield in an attempt to escape. Absolute worst.
It's great. Oh, it was Marie Kanta, I think.
I think so. I was just like, you are the worst human being ever. They call for the guardians who come running, but just as they approach the door, Tatiana, who was outside, stops them for a beat and then lets them in. Again, so many questions about this.
She was like, I want to make sure that they're desperate before you go in there.
Right? There was something I just, we're going to talk about it.
Yep. Silver and Jesse, with his roll-on luggage, make a break for his car and they come across Lissa and Mia, who beg for escape. As they all load up in the car, Danes Eklos arrives and demands Silver and Mia get out. Yeah, I know. That was a big sigh. Jesse argues that there's room for everybody, but he refuses, saying he won't get in the car without Silver getting out. Silver sees the Strigoi approaching and tells Dane he needs to get in. And Lissa also encourages him, but he still refuses. Finally, Eklos sees the Strigoi and, panicked, begs Jesse to unlock the doors and let him in. But Jesse determinedly replies, sorry, no room, and leaves him to be attacked. Yes, Jesse.
Work through the daddy issues, Jesse. Come on.
That was a Felicity line. That's why I let you read that.
I don't encourage people to let their parents die in a Strigoi attack, but when your dad is Danes Eklos, I agree with it. 100%. Let him go.
Yeah, I think we knew that was coming too. We've talked before about how when things start to go good for the characters, it's going to go bad. When you see someone just being such a complete jerk when he's like, get out so I can get in, it's just like, oh, this is a karma moment. Like they are setting it up for you to feel totally good when he gets taken out.
The question is he dead or is he Strigoi dead?
I, no rhyme or reason. He's dead. He is dead.
I don't know. I think we're going to have to take account at the end of this of how much of the cast is Strigoi now.
Yeah, true. There's a lot.
Going into next season. Yeah.
Rose and Dimitri are walking through the tunnels, having a little book club about A Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela's memoir. Again, time and place, guys. She wants to know why he reads about humans, and he tells her that for humans, even in the worst possible circumstances, they believe something better is possible. There is more grace in that hope than all the prayers I've ever uttered. Oh, Dimitri, you're so sensitive. I love you. He implores Rose to believe in her ability to change things, saying it's one of the things I love. And the stupid Strigoi pain interrupts him as he's about to tell that he loves her. It's a multiple wave attack. And Rose and Dimitri are doing good. But oh my God, one bites Dimitri. Rose drags the Strigoi off, telling a dazed Dimitri he'll be okay, that the high will pass. But as she turns to face the multiple Strigoi attacking, it is not looking good.
That tunnel scene, we were all waiting for that. The Jesse Escape car group are rolling through the streets of the court, the sunset approaching, and so many Moroi are left behind. Lissa sees an injured Eddie and demands they get out. Mia tells her it's not safe, but she won't hear it. There are too many injured and people that they cannot leave. It's not fair, and she won't leave. Mia reluctantly joins her, not letting her do this alone.
Rose is fighting like the badass she is, staking multiple vampires, but she's outnumbered, and one pins her to the wall. She sees another Strigoi approaching a barely conscious Dimitri, and oh my god, someone please help! But here we go, it's the Hathaways! Janine Hathaway stakes her way onto the scene, and it's a mother-daughter bonding by Strigoi death moment as they come together to kill the rest. Janine tells Rose it was an honor to fight with her, such a skilled guardian. Oh, mother-daughter pride moment.
Yes, and one of the best moments of my viewing was sitting there with my husband, and after that mother-daughter scene, he says, "That's the Hathaway you do it." And I was like, oh my gosh, how is that not a hashtag or something? The Hathaway you do it, right?
It is now. Done. Coined. Oh, I love it. I'm stealing that. Thank you, Jay.
Andre leaves his apartment to head into town and fights off an attacking Strigoi with excellent flame use. Lissa is using her spirit to heal injured people, and she offers to help Mia again, but she still refuses, telling her that she's done too much. Lissa admits to Mia how the power drainage works and that she saved Rose in the car accident, and that they have a bond now. Mia regrets how she treated Sonya, and Lissa tells her, "Don't worry, she loves you, like Andre loved me." Andre, overhearing, tells Lissa he's glad that she knows, but Lissa dismisses him as an hallucination, until Mia is also shocked to see him. And then Lissa realizes Andre is alive, and they tearfully embrace. Siblings back together.
Oh, it was so lovely.
It was a sweet, short-lived moment. he tells her how proud he is of her and that he knows what she's been through. And he tells her that she needs to leave the Dominion, like, right now. Tatiana isn't who she says she is. And he hands her a circle medallion, tells her it's not safe. But just as we're joyful, Andre is attacked, a Strigoi grabbing him from behind and feeding on his neck.
That was brutal.
Andre. Was
no, Rochelle.
I know, they put Rochelle through this twice.
They really did. Rose, Dimitri, and the Guardians are returning from the tunnel, and Rose collapses in pain, Lissa's fear coursing through her. Dimitri is by her side as she watches Andre's attack and screams in horror. Christian arrives on the Andre scene and is about to flame the Strigoi when he hesitates because it's his mother. Using his hesitation, she feeds her blood to Andre and Lissa, as well as me, is screaming. Christian flames his mother, but it's too late. They've escaped and Lissa is devastated.
The Guardians have regrouped as sunset approaches and Dimitri reminds them they need to hold the line until the wards go back up. Meredith sees Mia and they embrace. Mermia. Christian asks Lissa to spirit the stake, and she tries, but she's depleted and absolutely exhausted, unable to use her magic. Rose comes running and tells her she knows about Andre. As the sun sets, the Strigoi approach the group that includes Meredith, Mason, Sasha, Eddie, Dimitri, Rose, Mia, Christian, and Lissa. So basically, everyone. Christian implores her, it's now or never, get the stake imbued with spirit, and she and Rose share a look. Rose reminding her she's not alone and that they can do this together. They clasp hands and bless the stake, the spirit working with the two of them.
But the Strigoi attack. The battle is on, and as Lissa is passed out, Rose calls to Dimitri to save her and take her away. Rose then throws the stake to Christian, telling him she'll cover him. And badass Rose is back in action, staking vampires. Mason, Meredith, Eddie, and Sasha are all fighting hard too. We find Victor in a chapel on his knees, weeping in devastation. Okay, but why do I feel a little bit sorry for Victor right now? But then a Strigoi Sonya approaches and he tells her that he loves her and asks if she can ever forgive him. She thinks for a moment, then bares her teeth, unlocks her jaw and attacks him.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
That was brutal. That unlocking of the jaw scene.
Ooh. The fight with the Guardians rages on and Rose is staking a path to the wards gate for Christian. Meredith is attacked and loses her weapon, falling to the ground. As the Strigoi closes in, Mia water magics him away, and the Mermia power couple is thriving.
Woo!
Christian gets closer to the gate as Mason stakes a Strigoi. He sees that Sasha Tanner has been attacked, goes to kill the Strigoi, but is thrown into the air against a tree with a devastating crack. Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith races in to drag the Strigoi off of an unconscious Mason, just as Christian opens the ward gate and plunges the stake in. And the wards instantly rise, and the Guardians push a Strigoi through them. It bursts into flames. Everyone cheers in exhilaration because they did it. But Rose looks over and sees Meredith desperately trying to wake Mason. They race over, and he's alive, but Rose commands that they need to get him to the infirmary. Mia tells her she can't. She needs to go find Dimitri and Lyssa and get Lyssa out of the Dominion. Rose is torn, but Meredith tells her Mason would understand. Rose tearfully runs off, devastated by her choice, but knowing that she has to.
Would Mason understand? Would he know? As the remaining novice guardians carry Mason back to the infirmary, also just to point out, if his spine isn't hurt before that, the way they carry him back, where they're all just kind of like hanging on to the leg, he's injured now, that poor boy. As they walk through the court, we get a sense of destruction, bodies in the streets, buildings on fire, and there's Tatiana giving a press conference in which she announces that the council have unanimously voted her queen. Of course. And then calls Lyssa Dragomir a person of interest and wanted for questioning in the assassination of Queen Mariana. No! Later, Mia awaits news in her dorm and Meredith arrives to tell her that Mason is in surgery right now. They are both devastated by the consequences of the night and they embrace. Mia asks her tearfully to stay with her and Meredith tenderly kisses her before she says yes. Oh, I love them so much.
Lyssa awakens in a change of clothes and sitting in the front seat of a car in a random field somewhere. Christian's standing outside waiting for her to wake up. He tells her the latest news about Tatiana and how they're getting her out of the Dominion. She can't believe it, but then remembers that Andre told her Tatiana wasn't who she said she was. And Lyssa shows Christian the medallion, that chip thing that Andre handed her. Lyssa asks where they're going, but Christian isn't going. His aunt was killed in the fighting, R.I.P. Tasha. And so he has to stay and secure his bloodline. They both realize Lyssa might never be able to come back. Christian's about to say something, but Lyssa interrupts and says, "We're married." He then tells her he's a monk, only way he could wield the stake. They both are determined to see each other again and confess their love and kiss. Aww.
Dimitri, who's in the duster, everybody. Let's all just take a moment for that. And Rose are walking towards the car, bantering about Rose's driving. He softly murmurs that the thought of waking up to Rose every morning and softly smiles at it. Aww. But they stop, both knowing that they have issues. Rose tells him that in both worlds, they've been chased out. And so there is no out there or in here. It's just the world. She knows that none of this world is safe for Lyssa. And Dimitri agrees, but adds that is until Tatiana is taken down and order is restored. Rose tells him that he needs to fight for Lyssa in the Dominion. She steps toward him and says softly that them being together would have been everything. He wants to come with them, but she reminds him that he'd be doing it as someone else, and he counters maybe that's someone she would like better. But he accepts it, admitting it's not someone he is. Rose tells him that he's everything she never wanted to fall in love with. He's struggling to hold back his emotions and can only reply, "You too, Rosa," and they share one final emotional kiss before Rose walks away.
Oof. Janine is there and Rose is prepared for a guardian lecture, but Janine tells her that, of course, she has to go and protect Lyssa. And they share an awkward mother-daughter hug. Janine gives her a card with a phone number, telling her that if she ever needs anything, to call this number. Rose calls to a departing Janine, "Who is this?" And Janine replies, "Your father." Dun, dun, dun. Is that you?
They have to do season two now because we've got to have Abe Mazua. I'm sorry. It's the rules. With Lyssa at the wheel, which is hilarious to me, Rose and Lyssa remember their original plans to leave the Dominion and how that this is nothing like that. Rose adds that they are nothing like those girls who made those plans. They share a look and Lyssa asks, "Are you ready?" And Rose says, "What do you think?" And the two best friends hit the road. End of season. Okay, let's talk about that episode. Oh my God. Let's go to Rochelle. Andre Dragomir. Let's talk about his journey in this episode.
I'm just going to cut in and say, I think that Rochelle manifested him coming back.
Right? I do believe this.
It's true. I like, for the last however many weeks the show's been on, I've been like in my intentions journal writing, you know, Mrs. Andre Dragomir over and over with hearts and stuff. And it, there he was.
Did you know? Because I have to say, like, we recorded episode one and I don't think you had seen this far in advance at that point. So it really was a manifestation.
It was. And it was a great escape, too. It was like, it was very, I don't know. It was very action hero-esque, you know? He, like, turns Mr. Goy, and then he's, like, breaks his chains and gets his lighter, and it was just, like, what is happening? Like, why do you not have your own show, Andre? It was great.
I know the Andre early years is something that could still happen. I feel like it should, but I did have to say I was shattered for that. He like had this great moment, and then he like bursts out, and then Lisa sees him, and then it's over. Like, it's taken away real fast. I was surprised by that. Actually, we'll say that was. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead to surprise and delight, but I also, after all that to get him back to then have him gone again. That shocked
Lisa.
Me.
Lisa only had a moment with him. That was a pretty. Mm-hmm. Brutal cutoff, if ever there was one.
Yeah. Shout out to Daniela Nieves, who did a great job in that scene of just being devastated.
Oh, just wailing. The wailing. Oh my gosh.
That was the thing, the screaming for him and like, stay with me. Oh, oh. She killed it. But also, you know, in that moment with Andre, we also got to hear a bit of him and Tatiana interacting. On the downside for Andre, he was a little bit chatty.
He liked to share something. Granted, I don't think he had a choice. I think she would have gotten that information out of him regardless.
This is true.
So that explains her fascinating information that she had about the Quorum earlier on in the season and all that. That was an interesting remark about the you move like a Dampier, though.
As I said in the recap, I didn't catch that until the second watch that I was doing this morning.
I didn't either.
He says it very throwaway, but he literally says you move like a Dampier.
Oh, what does it mean?
And then combined with the other thing of she's saying, I don't think I'm going to be queen for very long. Is she some kind of Dampier plant? That's my wild conspiracy theory. What's happening there?
Interesting. Does she have similar motivations to Victor in reestablishing how things?
They're just coming at it from different sides.
Yeah.
And also she seemed friendly or at least able to instruct the commander worst who put Dimitri in jail, that guy.
That's true.
Because she told him to wait before entering the council. And I'm like, why would they listen to her if they're rescuing Maroi, if everyone is royal Maroi is equal? But they stopped. So...
I'll say this for Tatiana. She's very organized. I mean, down to like poisoning the feeder who would be delivered to the queen. That's quite a bit of organization on her part.
Mm-hmm. And she was throwing around Strigoi pretty handily. I was really surprised in that scene with Andre. She just like, you know, chucks Mrs. Ozera aside. And we saw in other scenes, the guardians are having trouble taking down one, which makes the Dampier theory that much more interesting.
I think there's something there with that. And then on her side, though, she was giving him the full my villain story. Here's how I did it. Here's who I'm going to do. Like, stop explaining. Get on with villain.
She was very classic villain in that way.
Yeah. Here's what I did. Here's how I did it. Here's what's happening next. Everyone needs to stop sharing information.
I think she just wanted to bask in the brilliance of her little scheme for a moment, which she did. I think down to, not to jump too far ahead, but she's hunting Lisa now.
I know.
She's turned the tables pretty... drastically.
Good move. Good move with the, she's the wanted person. But, oh.
Yeah. Like, I hate her, but at the same time.
Yeah, like, I don't call her the worst.
She's because, very clever.
Yeah. Master planner, as you said. She's got to have a room somewhere with, like, plan A and plan B and, like, all the red string and, like, the here's
plan A, plan B. Yeah. Or, like, at least a color-coded journal.
somewhere. That's there. Let's talk about the action scenes, the battles. First of all, the tunnels. As soon as Meredith said the tunnels, which, Meredith, what are you doing in the tunnels? What's going on there?
Meredith has a lot of information.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in those tunnels, when they saw the alchemist symbols, that's when I was like, wait, is Meredith an alchemist or an undercover alchemist?
You know, I'm actually just going to rant and say I'm very upset that we didn't get to find out what she was doing because that's alluded to a couple times during the season.
I know.
I wanted to know.
I feel like season two, that's what I'm hoping for. A few things
a lot
in season
of answers.
Two. Yeah. There better be a season two, is what I'm saying. But it was interesting that there was such a discussion. We had some hints of them and we'd actually seen them alchemists before, but this was the first discussion and Dimitri sort of explained who they are in the world and what they do. It was interesting how he said, though, to Rose to run away from them, which is a little different from the books in terms of, you know, the alchemists are there, they exist, no one really likes them, but they don't like them, vice versa. But it's not a be afraid of them kind of vibe.
I'm just trying to imagine Sydney, like, attacking Rose.
I did get excited. I did get excited when I said alchemist because I was like, Sydney Sage, she coming? Could she help? But it's too soon. And also she'd turn up as like Vampire Academy Sydney Sage, who hates them all.
Well, she has to be anyways. You've got to have that slow build, I guess.
This is true.
She has to learn to love Rose.
Yeah.
They have to go to Russia together and things, so.
This is true. Well, who knows?
Well, who knows?
But speaking, yeah, speaking of the reasons to go to Russia, it was because Dmitri was turned in the books, but he's not in the tunnels, which I thought was
It was a close call.
It was a red herring. I think every person, I don't know about you, Rochelle, did you like think, oh, here we go?
Yes. I mean, every time someone goes into a tunnel, which has kind of happened a few times, I feel like, in this show, and they should at this point learn never to. I've been bracing myself for that. But that's,
I feel like they're messing with us because there's close calls that look like red herrings. And can I just say, I thought Mason was going to die at the end.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I really thought that his death was coming and they just stretched it out. Man made it through to final episode of season one.
Good for you, Mason. Good for you.
I thought he was a goner in like episode one.
I mean, I know that Julie Plec and Marguerite had said at Comic-Con very clearly, we had intended to follow the books and then we got to know Drew Lanier and we didn't want to do that anymore. I thought, though, when he got thrown against that tree, oh, that's it. They just delayed the death.
That's what I thought. Like, they just gave him a little bit, like an extended life.
Yeah. An intimate scene with Rose. Good for him.
Which means what is the aftermath of Rose abandoning him to go?
But let's step back to, I want to go back to the tunnels only because I just need to call out that, like, I love Rose and Dmitri, but these two were bickering and, like, bantering at a very loud volume while hunting Strigoi in tunnels.
Listen, I think that's my Dmitri Does of the Week is Dmitri Does book club chats during fights.
He was really just having a, what this book's about. Here's the notes. Here's what you missed last week. It was wild. They were both kind of like, but I will say then again, when they got to fighting and they continued that conversation, loved it. I loved it. It was so cute. And then Janine turning up was pretty good too. But then the big battle at the end with the wards, I was like, okay, who's dying? And I don't think we acknowledged it in the recap, but Sasha Tanner looked pretty dead to me. So that's both Tanner siblings gone.
Was she gone?
Well, Meredith looks over and she was being attacked by the neck and that's why Mason runs to her. And then
maybe she is gone.
And then she falls and the Strigoi. So if we're doing our body count, I think we've got to pull one out for Sasha Tanner. All the Tanners are gone.
The Tanners did not have a good season, did they?
They really did not.
I don't want to believe she's gone. I don't know.
Maybe or Strigoi-a-foid? Strigoi-a-fied.
Well, maybe she just got dragged off to the infirmary.
Maybe
like
she was. Maybe she was Strigoi-a-fied.
Okay.
And now half the cast is Strigoi.
Okay. Well, so let's do the count. We've got Andre Strigoi. We saw that happen. We know that's happened. Victor is attacked by Sonya in the chapel.
He might be Strigoi-a-fied. I doubt that he's gone.
Okay.
I think that maybe.
He's in the maybe column.
Maybe vengeful Sonya would have turned him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dane Zeklos?
Dead.
Question mark?
Nah, I think he'll be back. He'll be back.
Do you think?
Yeah.
No.
Tweet at Penguin Teen what you think.
I think I'm putting him, he's in my dead column.
All right.
Deader than Mikhail.
Sasha Tanner is also a question mark. Strigoi-ified or dead?
I think she's dead. And then who else is left? Who else is... Good. I mean, I will say, shout out again to Eddie Castile, making it through.
I love Eddie.
got a nasty chomp in the arm, but got that healed, fixed by Litsa, and then was in that final fight and seemingly made it through. He was carrying Mason badly, but carrying Mason. Poor Mason's spine.
Oh, Mason. Yeah, knowing Mason was going to make it through, I thought for sure Eddie was going to be subbed in as the sacrificial lamb in all of this, but... He stayed alive in each episode, too. There were a few times I thought he was a goner.
And there's that other novice who isn't named, I don't think, officially they haven't addressed him by name, but I think he might be named in the script. But he made it through the attack in episode 5, the training thing gone wrong, and he was there again in the fight. He was the fourth person carrying Mason through. He's the unnamed survivor. I'm like, good on you. Making it through bit by bit, piece by piece. So we talked about Sonya and Victor being dead, but also like poor Victor, just at the end of this episode or this whole episode, just alone, devastated. His husband's gone off.
He's struggling.
Yeah. It's the bottom of the barrel, really.
I'm almost not sure he even would have cared if Sonny killed him. Like, he was more concerned with whether or not she forgave him.
Mm.
He's given up on the crown by this point.
Oh, yeah, that's over.
Like, he's done.
But so then he comes back as a Strigoi, he can't really claim the crown. Although that could be an interesting move.
All right, Strigoi king
on
the throne.
solid couples. Let's talk about Lyssa and Christian. Because good on them. Surviving.
Imagine being surprised with, you're married.
I did love the queen was like, no, you're married, guys. Still happening.
Surprise. He gave you a book. I wish that's how it worked.
Yeah. That's actually a great one.
That's how you should propose, via book.
Yeah. Here's this copy of my book with my favorite notes in it. But Lyssa had a bit of a rough trot, I will say, for her this episode. Was not a great one for poor Lyssa.
Lyssa's good at a lot of things. Disguising herself's not one of them.
That ball gown. She's just like, I'm just going to put a hood on. It'll be fine.
I'll leave the crown on.
I know, she left the crown too.
And then, you know, take off the crown. Like, it's still, there's still a ball gown in this dramatic red cloak, but it's all good.
Heal people in broad daylight.
I was waiting for like that real classic action hero movie where there's like a female hero who like rips the dress and like kind of like makes it more easy to run in or something. I'm like, let's get that. But that's not Lyssa. She wants to help. But
Rose.
That's Rose. That's exactly Rose.
Rose of the week. I know. That didn't happen. But
I'm saving my So Rose of the week. I don't want to jump ahead. You? Well, we're going to do it first. All right, can't jump ahead. But I will say, I did love that Lyssa and Christian were both like, I'm a monk. I'm married. Okay. We're together. Like,
yeah, Christian's
sweet.
A monk now, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's a fun little subplot.
I need to know the rules of those, though. It's unclear what exactly that means. So we need to find out the rules of monkdom in this faith.
I did actually, though, enjoy High Priestess Vogel as well, who we had previously thought was a Tatiana ally, was kind of just like, no, I'm on your side. I get why your parents did what they did. I monkify you.
I monkify you.
You are monked. Like, she kind of was fast and loose with the rules, but also good for her.
I mean, they did bring back how you charm a stake.
Yes.
And it was used on the wards, but does that come back to fix the Strigoi problem? I don't know.
Maybe. I want to know if Christian's monkness gives him any extra power now in this royal world, because we've seen how religion is held in a certain view. Or was it just kind of like a kids with wings in the airplane pilot situation?
I think it was a we need you to be a monk for 10 minutes kind of situation.
I'd kind of love it, though, if he turned up at the council and was like, I'm a priest now. I've got some power. Although, speaking of Christian, RIP off screen for the book fans, Tasha O'Zeara, not with us, didn't survive it.
Oh, man. We didn't even get to see her, but
no,
she is gone.
I think some of her character, though, has been meshed into Tatiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
which is, yeah.
Gone, but not exactly gone. Streamlined, perhaps.
I also feel like you couldn't have a Tasha turn up with a Tatiana. There's a lot of T names going on there. It'd be too, like, who, what, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rochelle, what's up with that?
I don't know. I just write them as they come.
And obviously the couple, the Rose, the Dimitri. All right. I have thoughts.
Oh.
Rose, you left with Mason as a couple. You didn't break up. It felt a little last sacrifice-y in the we were crossing partners, overlapping as opposed to I broke up with someone, I'm back. Like, she's standing there with Dimitri in the field having a very passionate kiss, which I am all here for. But Mason's in surgery and, in my mind, thinks you guys are still together.
It wasn't Rose's finest moment, I'll say that.
Rochelle, what did you see of it?
It was tough. It was hard to know where Rose was at. Now, to be fair, though, there was a lot going on, so I'm not sure we can judge her too harshly for, like, why don't you have coherent, consistent behaviors? I mean, everything's been turned upside down. But yeah, there's definitely some confusion, some mixed messages. It was tough. And the scene was really sad, I thought, where what was the wording? I could have been someone you loved better or liked better.
He was basically saying, if I go with you, I could be someone else. She's like, no. Like, that was really sad. Mm-hmm. I did think it was interesting that he said there was an element where he said, but when power and order is restored, it'll be fine. And I'm like, that's still going to be a problem for you and Rose, because the order is the thing that you guys were very divided on in this whole idea of you are happy to go along with the status quo. She wants the whole system torn down. And you still kind of haven't said, yay, I'm team revolution yet. You're just like, I'm in love with Rose.
That's always been Mason's team.
I know. But Mason is followed Rose, whereas Dimitri is like the one who's saying, I'm on team Rose, but I'm not on team revolution yet.
He's getting there.
I think he wants Rose to have the revolution. He knows that she's the person to do it. I don't think he's on the – he's still a little bit stuck with it.
My man likes order, okay?
He does. Speaking of the order, he – in their breakup or like farewell roadside, she says you have to be back at the Dominion to protect Lyssa. The man was in jail. Like, what is he walking back into?
He skipped out of jail rather nonchalantly.
Actually, we didn't – in the body count, Alberta.
I don't know.
Good move by her, though. I take it all back, Alberta. You see the man's potential in the field. You let him go. Thank you. Shout out to her. But yeah, like, does he have to go back to jail? Is he still under arrest?
Tatiana's kind of sweet on him. I mean, in a manipulative way. She's certainly not in love, but you know, he's useful in many ways, and so I think he'll get a pass with her.
Hmm. Which is not going to be the fans. I'm not going to like that at all, Rochelle. that scene is used as a weapon of destruction on social media. People put that GIF in your timeline just to like destroy you of Tatiana and Dimitri. But it does open up the door, you're right, to if in season two he needs to secure a placement, he can kind of...
Stop talking.
I'm just saying, undercover, you know, playing the kind of, you know, spy vibes.
No, yeah. I don't want that on my screen.
I have to say, though, Dimitri does not do subterfuge. Like, no. I can't see him being an undercover agent. Like, I'm going to get close to her, and then I'm going to use that to, you know, tear this apart from the inside. I mean, he may go back there, get his position back, but I don't think he goes
frankly,
there.
Frankly... I don't think anyone's going to remember he was in jail. They've got a lot to clean up.
This is true. He's such a straight-laced boy, though, too. You're right. I don't think you can do, like, secret agent spy undercover. I pretend I'm in love with Tatiana just to get all the information. That's not him. That's not who he is. I did think they'd break up again. He couldn't go with them. I get it. But they're in love, and they have such great chemistry. Shout out Kieran and Cece. That kiss. Although, that kiss... Then Janine comes walking up the path. I'm like, she saw that. She absolutely had to have seen that.
I feel like she's too sharp to have not seen what's going on by this point.
True. Can we talk about the little Abe Mazur shout out though?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. I'm so, again, season two, please, please, please happen for a number of reasons, including the fact that Daddy Mazur, I can't wait for that. That's going to be amazing, right?
I want to see his scarves and like everything. I know he's going to be dressed so well.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Well, I mean, their costume department is already fantastic. Right? So what will they do with
the
most amazingly dressed character in the series, right?
Mm-hmm. The Lyssa's got competition now.
Yeah, no, he's going to be wearing a hat and everything. But also, it allows then us to Adrian, who would definitely have connections in the outside world, is going to be able to potentially come back into this as well for helping Lyssa and Rose on the run. So I do love, and I think I've seen fans theorizing about this for a while now. I do love that we're going to see that this is almost the full circle back to how the first book started of Rose and Lyssa on the run. It's really, I think it's really a shout out to Julie and Marguerite, because that's a nifty piece of work right there.
Yeah. We are back to square one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And will they be hunted down and tracked? Will they be on the run a lot, just like before?
I don't think Tatiana's going to let Lyssa's risk be out
there. I think those Psy hounds are about to be after them.
All I'm looking for is that can we get an iconic Dimitri strolling down a dark alley, and that's when Rose sees him again for the first time.
I want Oscar the cat. I want everything from that.
All the moments we thought we couldn't have are back in play, everybody. This is exciting. Speaking of exciting, it's our last official round. And I say that with a wink because I've got some news to share. It's our last official round of Surprise and Delight. Tling! All right, Rochelle, from this episode, and I'm asking for a reason, from this episode, what was the thing you were most surprised by?
I would have to say I was surprised that Dimitri and Rose were so bad at clearing out the tunnel in some ways, because it's just like the two of them making a lot of noise, but ultimately so good at it, question mark, because they did a lot of it. Janine and friends had to come in and save the day, but I don't know how they got as far as they did as I was watching that. It's just, what are you guys doing? Shut up.
I do think, interestingly, that they haven't sort of followed again the book lines of the marks, because Rose has made some damage on Strigoi this season. Her neck would be full.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of, we can't do that. What were you most delighted by, Rochelle?
Oh, I have a whole list I'm literally looking at trying to decide. Ooh. I mean, I feel like...
You can have a couple. It's the final episode.
I feel like Andre is too obvious. Clearly, I'm delighted by everything that happened to him up until that fateful moment. I'd say this is kind of a surprising one, but I really loved Silver's clothes, and I did not expect that. It's just like that would just grab my attention so much with all this other stuff going on when her and Jesse walk out with his rolling luggage and she's got nice boots on and that coat. And I was just like, wow. And then when I watched it again, I was so riveted. And I didn't expect that. And I liked it.
She looked good. She looked really, really good. I love Silva. She's just sort of like woman about town, got a lot of jobs, always finding a way to save herself, doesn't need anyone help. She's just like, again, a bit like Rose and Dimitri, though, time and a place, guys. Like, we're being invaded here. Like, I get that it's maybe a bit fraught emotionally, but maybe let's not have an intimate moment as the invasion's happening.
But she was very profound, too, with her comments there to Jesse, which was also a really nice silver moment, because she's, you know, these blood whores are the fringe, look down on people in their society, but in some ways... many ways, she sees things more clearly than the people who are enmeshed in that system. That was a great scene.
All right, Shanna, then, what is your surprise?
Okay, so my surprise for this week was the feeder being poisoned before the queen. Because here's the thing. I noticed that the feeder looked a little pale when she walked in.
I didn't notice that.
But the feeder collapsing and you're like, oh, no. Yeah. I wasn't expecting the queen to be taken out that way. I thought it was going to be a hostage situation or like an invasion where they were hiding. But no, that was very clever on Tatiana's part, and I was very surprised by how we lost Queen Mariana.
R.I.P. She went out like a boss, though.
And then my other one for this week, delighted by Abe. The mention of Abe. I was kind of hoping we would see him this season. I'm glad we at least got a reference to him. He's on his way.
I want to know if anyone freeze frames it and calls the number on the card, because there's a number on the card.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for her to turn the card over and have his name, but I thought, no, that's too much. But
I there assume is a number Shannon on the card. Did, in fact, do that and has that phone number as part of her quiz today.
I mean, she's furious right now.
Oh, shoot. I literally told Felicity I have the best quiz question.
Apparently not.
I'm going to try it. Don't worry. I think I can get us close. I love it, though. We're already ruining Shannon's quiz.
You are.
Damn it. That's so funny.
Felicity, what was your surprise and delight of this week?
I still stand by my surprise was Andre. To lose Andre specifically. I was surprised. We got him back and then it was instant. Like, I thought maybe we might have... You know, I don't know. I don't know how they were going to use him. I just was very surprised it was fleeting. But then again, it makes sense. If he's in the scene, they can't have Lyssa be the only one wanted for questioning. He's going to be a bit more a political power player. It will divide things. It'll ruin Tatiana's plan. So I get it. But I was just like, oh, like literally he got to hug her and that was it.
Yeah.
And it was a really it was a really heartbreaking scene. And then I was delighted by – I was really delighted by it. I know that the, we said surprised by the tunnel clearing, but I was just delighted by it. It was the banter between the two of them when they were just like, I like pizza. I like books. Boof. It was just fun, and I was kind of like – and then like, and then it was like a smash cut to somewhere else, and they came back, and they're literally walking up the stairs, and they're having book club discussions. Like, he's like, it's called this, and it's by this person, and this is why I liked it. And I was like waiting for him to pull out a copy and be like, and these are my favorite quotes.
It's signed.
it was just entertaining, and I thought it was a glimpse of what they could be when they're in their like most badass kind of combined moments. But that is our last surprise and delight, everybody. Oh, for this season. Fingers crossed. Don't know anything. But it does mean that
it's time for my quiz questions, one of which has been absolutely destroyed by our previous chat, but that is okay because I have a lot of quiz questions and I hope you are both ready. There's a few this time.
I know you kind of said this is the big quiz.
I may have gotten a little bit ridiculous this time around. I was like, ha. Rochelle will never think of this. And
I haven't like thought of personal. Half of the things you've asked before, so it's not that hard, but let's see what you
let's
got.
Let's do this.
Let's okay. see. Some of them are harder than others. Some of them are a little bit easier. All right. We'll start off with an easier one. The commander who has Dimitri sent to Guardian jail, what kind of accent does he have?
Is it Scottish?
That's Scottish, yeah. All right. That's my easy one.
Although I've been calling everybody Scottish, including Kieran, so... Who is not Scottish? He's from Manchester, everybody. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, we did. We had a full discussion about that.
Yes.
In the first episode, didn't we?
Way back when, I thought his accent was a Scottish one. It's Manchurian, which is from Manchester in the UK.
All right, so. Rochelle. Well, Felicity answered that question, so you were spared one.
Commonwealth accents, I mean, that's her thing anyways, you know, so that's fine.
Apparently we just know because we're part of the Commonwealth.
Well, that's okay because I have more. Question two. How many Strigoi bites do we see in the opening fight sequence? That is right. We're going there.
That's crazy. Opening fight sequence. Who's in it? Who's the fight sequence with?
That's the opening school invasion fight sequence.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, but like wasn't that in the last episode? Or do you mean when they actually descend
on
the school?
Nope, this is opening of the finale. There is a big fight.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw out a number. 12.
All right. Rochelle, what's your guess?
7.
There's only 4.
Oh.
There's a lot of fighting, a lot of stabbing, but we only see 4 actual Strigoi bites in the opening sequence.
Interesting. You get that by being closest, Rochelle.
Question 3. Mason and Rose are on the run. What color is Mason's car?
It's blue.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I thought it was blue.
I think
too.
It is. It's filmed at night, so it looks like it's either white or blue.
It's one the blue of the car they used later in the episode.
Yes. Okay, good job.
Shannon, I was paying more attention. It's a Volvo, if I'm not mistaken.
Some of these I'm just asking you and hoping you know the answers because they're a little bit tricky. Number 4. As he drives, Mason tells Rose how one of the Queen's drivers owed him money from a bet, so he got driving lessons. What is Rose snacking on during this conversation?
It's something, it's like a bag of, I mean, it's not chips. I mean, maybe it's potato chips or Fritos. It's that kind of
just it's potato
junky,
chips.
It's that junk food kind of in a package thing.
I can just say the movement.
It is potato chips.
Okay. It's too old. Potato chips. Oh, this is exciting.
You're both doing surprisingly well so far. Question 5. During that same conversation, where does Rose suggest they drive to?
Las Vegas.
That's correct. Yep. Reference to, what is that, book 5?
Yeah, but also I consider that to me that's a Bloodlines reference.
Mm.
Oh,
Vegas
yeah.
is very important in Bloodlines.
Interesting. All right, next. Tatiana has been keeping Andre hidden in a shop. Name that shop.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, before this started, I was thinking of questions for you, and I thought, there's a jewelry shop along there, and what was the shop she goes into? Like, I was going to look it up, and then I was too lazy to. Oh, man.
It's, what kind of shop is it? Is it like,
is it a clothing
what's
shop?
A jewelry shop?
It's like an antique shop. That's where Mia comes out of.
Was it an antique shop?
Is that the final answer? Steakhouse.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Shout out prop people. Okay.
Oh, we're still going. I hope you all are ready. All right. What is the name of the guardian charged with guarding the queen during the attack?
Felix.
There you go. Yeah.
That was a detailed one.
Felix, I don't give you any stars because you left your position.
He really did. He was like, I got to go.
They need me. They need me at the front. I'm like, I feel like I need Felix. You here. Yeah.
Why does Lyssa say she couldn't heal the queen?
Because it wasn't a wound?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chronic stuff, like Victor's disease, you can't.
She said, I couldn't heal it because it was poison, not a wound.
Gotcha.
All right, next up. What is Dimitri's favorite book?
Long Walk to Freedom.
Doesn't he say all of them, though?
He says he has too many.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But he does like Long Walk to Freedom. He does.
That's the one that gets called out, right?
That's the book club one.
That is our book club pick of this episode.
I'm going, we should get a sticker with Dimitri's book club.
All right, I got real detailed for this one. What is the name of the royal reporting news channel to which Tatiana makes her announcement calling for Lyssa's capture?
It's red and white.
It's got that logo. It's roundish and...
It's red and white.
Mm-hmm.
It's red and white. The Cylon.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cryon, whatever they call it.
That one I'm not going to... I don't know that one. I can picture
it. Is it a punny or is it letters like an acronym?
It's something just unexpected, I feel like.
Vamp News Daily.
See, that's what you would expect, but it's,
I know. That's
why
I'm like waiting for like a, you know, a pun.
All right. The answer is... Breaking News Live, Dominion Sentry.
Sentry. That was what had caught my attention as like it's a weird yeah. choice.
All right. My question that was spoiled. Rose's mom hands her an orange card with a number on it. What's the phone number?
Okay. I know it's. I know it because I looked at it today. It's 0044.
You're close.
What? Or 044. I know because
00422.
Okay. 00422. There's like a 5834848.
You've got a lot of the numbers there in the wrong order.
It's like an 8 and a 4 and a 5's in there.
00422384758.
I see.
Yeah, Felicity did surprisingly well on that one.
Hey, I'm calling Abe Mizua's phone number. Don't you worry.
That's what we should have done on the podcast is call Abe. All right, final question. We're closing with an easy one, actually. I don't believe you.
I've
given you enough difficult questions. What is the closing shot of the entire season?
Is it the girls driving away? Like, is it a pan out of the car?
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, no, it's not. Is it Andre?
It's Andre. Yeah. It's Andre waking up as Tricoy.
Is it?
I thought it was the closing shot, too, but you said no.
The last shot is him opening his eyes and they're red.
I think I might have an earlier cut because I've seen it twice. I've seen that episode twice, and I would remember that.
I'm gonna. Shannon's like, oh,
Rochelle's got the early version of the episode.
I'll go back and look. It's possible I'm wrong. But again, I feel like having seen that twice, end up being Andre that would have registered.
All right, well, you both survived my quiz. So.
Actually, I might be able to answer this because I have notes for...
I have some questions for Shannon.
Oh, God.
Hey!
Okay, Rochelle, I know how to give the questions. I can only dish it out. I can't...
Do it. Ask Shannon.
All right, Shannon.
Okay.
When the Strigoi attack, the Guardians, how many days are this many days since our last attack sign rolls back to zero? What was it at?
Oh, no. Okay.
I love this so much.
Shoot. It wasn't a big number because there was one on the school a few days before. Mm-hmm. Was it 12?
Does Felicity know?
Is it 6?
Final answers?
Yeah, I'm looking in 6.
Okay, it's 9.
Oh, my gosh, it was right between us.
Yeah. And that was a delightful moment. Also, I didn't want to mention it because I didn't want to tip off this question, but I loved that when, like, just they show that quick clip of the sign rolling back.
Also, okay. the clock on, like, the sun is setting every minute. I'm like, who's looking at this?
Let's see. What else do I have? Okay. Tatiana, in her big villain-splaining, what did she say was her original goal in the accident?
In the accident that killed Lyssa's parents?
Yeah, because she's the one who orchestrated that.
Didn't she want to kill everybody?
I think it was originally to kill everybody, and then she realized Andre could be of use to her.
Yes. She says, she tells Andre, you were my goal in the accident there to get him. She was fascinated by him.
And then they showed that flashback
to them making out and stuff.
I don't, I forget that, that they had the very, they had a very opening bold scene with the two of them at the very first episode, which now plays very differently in my head. But when I first watched, I was just like, oh, Andre, you playboy, you. Now I'm like, oh, it's Tatiana pulling the strings.
And this one is funny based on what you said. What color is Jesse's car?
Oh, it's definitely a dark colored car. It's dark blue, right?
It's a black Range Rover.
Yeah, I think it is black. My friend and I watched it. And we did go back a couple of times trying to tell it because we thought it might be like a dark navy, but we thought it was black.
I'm going to go blind. It's
I'm going to say
Range.
It's navy. I don't know. It's okay. I might be
it's
wrong.
It's in the shadows a lot when they've had when that they... thing with Elder Zeklos.
Yeah, true.
So
I need to go back and check Mason's car because I'm actually not sure.
I'm also loving though that like Jesse and Silva just like dropped off Mia and Lissa and just kind of went, see ya. And they're out driving somewhere too.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Okay, last question. Last question.
Okay, all right.
When Mia uses her water magic on the Strigoi, which do you think would have been the better line? Looks like blood really is thicker than water. Or, looks like you're all washed up.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, I like that we're getting into just opinions now. And Rochelle's rewriting scripts, I love it. I'm going to say number one.
Yeah, me too.
Number one is solid.
It's got the blood in it. Yeah.
It is. I like all washed up, personally. They're both, I have, it's
they're both amazing.
Question, but yeah.
They're both amazing. I just like, I like one because it has the blood part in it. And I feel like that homages the vampires around them. Normally at this point we have fan mail, right? And we normally ask our fans out there to send us some messages and tell us the reactions to the episode. But because they actually haven't seen this episode by the time we recorded it, I didn't want to miss the fans, you know, excitement about the series, the finale. So guess what? We're coming back for another episode, everybody.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! We're going to have a recap after party where we do the whole season. We look back, we pick out our favorite moments, the highs, the lows, the best lines that Rochelle would have written in place in that that pun suggestion. But it also means that we could also have some surprise guests.
All right.
Can't say who yet, can't say when, but we'll be back next week to talk about the whole series, spoilers and all. So for the fans out there, you will have now seen the final episode. DM Penguin Teen on Instagram, TikTok or Twitter and tell us your reactions to the whole season. What was your favorite moments? Who your favorite characters were? We want to hear the whole thing, what you've loved about this experience. And actually, while we're here in fan mail, I want to thank everyone who's been DMing us about what they've loved the podcast. It's been so lovely hearing from you. We love to know that you're enjoying hearing us chat it through and our silliness because we've been having such a great time. So we're back for one more after party giant extravaganza, which I'm very excited about.
All right, and Rochelle, I assume you're coming to our after party, right?
I wouldn't miss it.
It'd be kind of awkward if you were like, no.
I guess some stuff going on.
Gotta
that day,
wash but... my hair.
Be sure to join us next week for our final podcast episode for our Vampire Academy after party. And of course, be sure to follow Penguin Teen on all your favorite social media platforms for the latest Vampire Academy news.
See you next week.
Ooh.